So just as a quick report, during our time together, during that week, we got to share the gospel specifically and personally with over 900 kids, students, and adults. And then 86 of them that we know of made professions for Christ during this week. So we thank the Lord for that. And I've asked the team just to share just a couple of highlights. So here you go.
This is my third time going to Brazil, and just like all the other times, it has been an amazing trip. Project Evita is just so welcoming, and they obviously don't need us, but it's so nice of them to like welcome us and let us join in on their program. It was just awesome to see all the lives saved, and just. It was really good trip.
So this is my second year. And this year I met a lot more distractions while sharing the gospel in the schools. And so it was a bit discouraging at first because I would start having a good conversation and there would be distractions from other students that I would meet. And I was broken because I didn't know if the people I had shared it with really heard what I was saying. And then later on Sunday, the three girls from the church we worked with last year came, and they were also in one of the schools we went to last year. And they said that to this day that the kids in their school will still talk about the American team that came and visited and shared the gospel through the bracelets. And I think it was just God saying, like, even though you didn't have these people confess, you still worked in their hearts, seeds were planted, and they're gonna remember. So
I could talk like for the entire service about all the wonderful things the Lord did through Project Evita this past week and through our team. You can really see the Lord working down there, even though Satan is working really hard to make sure the gospel is not shared. We had to be very careful in a lot of the schools. In one of them, we couldn't say the name of Jesus when we were giving our testimonies, which was really hard because Jesus is what saved my life, you know? And so that was really hard. And then one school, they were like, you can talk, but you can't talk about religion. They basically wanted, like, just tell them they have to be nice people. And that was really hard for me because it's like, how can I share what the Lord has done for me without talking about him? And it really put into perspective how lucky we are and how blessed we are to just not have those kind of regulations on the gospel. And it was also really amazing to see that even though there were those rules in place, that God still worked so much, and he worked so much through Project Evita. It was really cool to see the dramas and how much the kids really feel those. You can see them, especially during the family drama. It's about like this family that's struggling, and the dad's alcoholic, and the mom is addicted to drugs, and the child is really struggling. You can see how much the kids relate to that and how broken they are over it. And it's heartbreaking, but it's also amazing to see, like, the light switch when they see that Jesus is there and that there's hope and that there is something that can save them. And so that was really encouraging for me. The Lord used us, but he also did a lot of work in my own heart. And so I'm very grateful for all of y'all for your support in it, and we couldn't have done it without your prayers.
Okay, so we had some hiccups along the way, and I didn't get to share my testimony, so sorry. Y'all are just going to have to hold on and listen. No, I'm just kidding. I am going to speak a little bit different and just be transparent with you all, because I think it's a good reminder of an encouragement to those who might be sitting in a seat and being like, this isn't something I can do. I'm not equipped, God can't use me, that sort of thing. So this is my second time being to Brazil, and I had already told my girls they were wanting to go, but I was not going to go this year. I had decided I'm an every other year kind of girl for mission trips, because it's a lot of planning when you're a mom, and just when you just have, when you're doing life, adulting. And so Jared approached me. He's like, okay, how about you come, just an adult female. We have a lot of, young ladies and from our church. And I was like, okay, Lord, if this is your will, I'll do it. And so here we are, back from Brazil. But I think I allowed myself to say I wasn't going for a lot of reasons, not just busyness. I have been struggling with some insecurities. You all see me back as a greeter, and I smile, and I'm happy, and I'm loving on you all. But inside, I've been struggling. Some things along the way, just little things here and there, Satan has just chipped away at my tenacity to share, my willingness, my boldness. And so I think through that, I was just going to shy away and not go. So fast forward, we're there, and we're in the schools. And the first day for me, and what I felt like my expectations were supposed to be and what I was supposed to be doing, was a flop. And I was like, okay, Lord, you have me here. I don't look like these girls. I'm definitely the older of the group. I'm even older than our pastor over here. And my hair shows it. And so the kids were really drawn to our young kids, right? So I'd have a little conversation here and a little conversation there, but I didn't feel like it was what it was supposed to be, and I was struggling. And so that night I prayed, Lord, just use me for what you have me to do. That next day, it's the same. We go out into the common area where we are allowed to share more freely, and they're drawing all to the young kids. And Charlene, who looks similar to me, is like, we're like, what is up? Wow, what's going on? So I just decided, Lord, give me the boldness to just jump in. And there were these two young girls sitting on the step. And so Charlene and I joined in alongside them. And I just went for it. And I was like, do you all know Jesus? And one girl was like, yes. And she spoke a little English. And the other girl was just kind of like this. And I said, well, is it okay if I share with you what he's done for me? And so I don't have it on today, but we had some bracelets that had the three circles on it. And so I just started sharing the gospel through that to these two girls, mind you, focused on them, just sharing. And at the end, I prayed. And when I opened my eyes, what I didn't realize was that God had brought like 14 other young kids around us who were hearing. And so I realized in that moment that God just needs me to be obedient, to be, even in the little things, just to step out of my insecurities and trust that he has the plan and the process. In that particular scenario, there were about, at this point, 14 or 15 kids, and four did call on the name of Jesus. And the cooler thing about that was the young girl who had kind of went like, well, I sort of know him. I looked at her and I said, had you ever heard the gospel before? And she said, no, I've never heard that. And so it was one of those situations where it was for me just as much as it was for the people, that the young kids who were there. It's just, let the Lord use you. If you're sitting there today and you're just thinking, it doesn't even have to be in another country. Just where you are, ask the Lord for boldness. Allow him to work through you and use you. And he will do great things. It's not us. It's him.
Yeah, amen. The Lord is so good and so faithful. And it's just a joy to be able to serve him. Whether it's here or whether it's in another country, he's working. And he desires to use us, his people. And so one more thing, there's a unique aspect to the past couple weeks. So World Reach, the ministry I also work with, had three different trips going on at one time, which is the first time we've ever had that happen. So we had a team in Brazil, Dad had a team in Indonesia, and then we have another team in Uganda right now. So I want Dad to come on up for a second, share a quick update about your ministry, and then You're going to pray over Pastor Rodrigo as he brings the word. Yeah, y'all can sit down.
Well, good morning. God bless you. A famous missionary once made this statement. Why should anybody in the world hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once? What an incredible statement. And I tell you that because this past week in Indonesia, every time I would share the gospel story, I would then say to the person that I was sharing with, as Penny did, have you ever heard this message before? And over and over and over again, these Muslim people would look back at me and say, we have never heard this before. Can you imagine to live your whole life and never hear the message of God's love and forgiveness that's offered to us in Jesus Christ? How do you reach them? Well, for us this past week, it was 50 hours on an airplane, actually on 12 different airplanes, 3 boat rides from one island to the other, and then the opportunity to speak to literally dozens and dozens of people face to face, heart to heart, and share the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel story, the cross, the death, the bloodshed, and the resurrection of his mighty power. And then to be able to see in a Muslim country, you know, Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. 284 million people on 17,000 islands. And I said, Lord, how in the world do you ever reach this many people? And the answer simply is one by one, one island at a time, one person at a time, one gospel conversation at a time. And so it's just a reminder to me as a preacher, as an evangelist, to us as a church family, that there are still people on this planet of 8+ billion people who need to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. And in the book of Romans, the Bible says, and how can they hear without a preacher? I'm reminded of the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 6, when the Lord said, and who's going to go for us? And Isaiah said, y'all know the words? Hear my Lord, send me. Let's pray together, shall we? I want to pray for my brother Rodrigo as he comes to preach the word. Father, thank you for this church and what it stands for my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Thank you for those who have heard this past week for the very first time the message of your love and forgiveness, the message of a cross and the resurrection and the love of our great God. Now, Lord, I pray for my brother Rodrigo. I pray, Lord, that you would give him liberty and freedom to speak your truth, that he would preach with power and anointing. Lord, that you would give him the words to say and the message to preach, and that you'll be glorified in it all. For you, Lord Jesus, alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Love you. Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's so good to see you all. I'm glad to be here to worship with you. I'm Rodrigo. I'm from Brazil. I wish I had been in Brazil with the team, but I couldn't. I work with Portuguese ministry here at Hope Valley Church, and we moved from Brazil about 3 years with my family, and so I keep working in my English. Maybe you don't understand my English, so you can go ahead and use the Polyglot app. We have a Polyglot app here. Maybe, I don't know if the Polyglot app will understand my English. If your polyglots don't understand my English, it's hard, but the Holy Spirit can help you. I know that. If you're a guest this morning, don't worry. Don't worry, we have pastors who speak good English here at church. I promise you can come back next Sunday and understand better the message. But I'm so grateful for our church doing mission. What a privilege to be a part of Hope Valley Church. This is a missionary church. that was serving in Christiansburg, Alistown, Uganda, Brazil. Like, we are one, but we are in many places to share the gospel. I'm so glad to be part of this church. And I love when Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And that's why we are here. Because him. Because he did. I'm so grateful for this connection between North America and Brazilians. Because my church in Brazil began because American missionaries went to Brazil and shared the gospel with my people. I'm so thankful. And maybe you not know this, but maybe your great-great-grandfather probably helped to sow the seed of the gospel in Brazil. And we had many North American missionaries building church in Brazil and teaching the gospel to my people in Brazil. And today, living here, I remember how this marked my Christian life, how influenced to me to become a missionary. I've been sharing in our Portuguese ministry here with my Brazilian friends how grateful we are to be part of this church. We feel at home here. We feel welcomed by you all. We are so glad to be part of this church. I'd like to share with you our Portuguese small group here. God has blessed our church, and the ministry Portuguese is growing. This is only possible because God is good, because Jesus is with us, and because you all help us to do it. This is our small group. No small now, but we are growing, and we are so glad to be a part of this church. Thank you for help us. This morning, I would like to share the gospel of Mark with you. Mark chapter 2. Verse 1 through 12. Today we're going to talk about, we never saw anything like this. We never saw anything like this. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 says, And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, no even the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning their hearts. Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus question within themselves, say to them, Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise, take up your bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, Rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went to before them all. So they were all amazing and glorified God, saying, We never saw anything like this. We never saw anything like this. We know that Jesus passed through many places, and this city, Capernaum, was a city where Jesus visited several times. This version says Jesus was at home. Jesus was at home, but we know that Jesus didn't have a house. Some people said this is likely Peter's house, and when Jesus passed through the Capernaum, he stayed there. Many people followed Jesus because he healed, taught, and loved people. As we see in this text, Jesus attracted crowds. In Mark chapter 1, says that Jesus healed many, and he had to leave the city because of the crowd. But when he got in Capernaum, he began to teach, and the crowd soon gathered together around him. And Mark records that Jesus was preaching the word in this house. Verse 2, and he was preaching the word to them. Here's the first point. It is important to preach the word. It is important to preach the word. It is through the word that God made the world. He spoke and everything was done. By the word that we have a foundation of our faith. This was, we sing here at church. This, we will preach here at church, the word of God. Romans 10:7 says, the faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's why the Brazilian team traveled there, to preach the God's word. I know they did many things in Brazil. I know they've been in some cool place. I know they went to the best steakhouse in my home city. But the most important thing was preaching the word of God, like Jesus did. It is by the word that we know God is real. I got saved when I was 15 years old. I got saved. And that time, my family believe in like many crazy things about God, about spiritual things. And I remember when I got saved, I started to share the gospel with my friends, with my family. And I remember one day, after 2 or 3 years, my mom and my two sisters, they start to walk with Jesus. But my dad was hard to share the gospel with them because he believes in many crazy things. But one day I remember he came and said, hey, because I tried to share the gospel many times in many ways. And I remember one day dad said, hey, can you show me if the God is real? Why just one God? Why just Jesus? And I said, yes, I can do it. Absolutely. I can show you God is real. And he said, what, you can do it? And I said, let's start. Genesis 1 through Revelation. Let's start. And then I start to share the gospel with them. We have some Bible conversation. But like after 10 or maybe 11 years later, my dad got saved. Amen. Because the God is real. Yeah. Because the word of God is real. That's what Jesus did in that house. He preached. He teaching the word of God. Verse 3 said, and they came, bring to him a paralytic carried by 4 men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. We must bring people closer to Jesus. We must bring bring people closer to Jesus. We don't know many details about this man. We don't know if he has born with paralysis. Paralysis, thank you. If he had some accident. We also don't know if, like, information in the text about where those four men came from. But what we know is they did everything they could to get closer to Jesus. They made it. They were smart. They didn't give up. They showed love for the paralytic by bringing him to Jesus. I just imagine, like, everyone tried to get close to Jesus, like waiting a miracle, trying to get some spot to listen to Jesus. But the people were going toward Jesus. A lot of people tried to go toward Jesus. But those four men went toward to the paralytic to bring him to Jesus. Can you imagine? Like everybody tried to get close to Jesus. But their friends, the paralytic's friends, go toward him to get him to Jesus. That's our mission, to bring people closer to Jesus. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how obstacle, no matter the language or culture, our mission is to do everything possible to that people know Jesus. This is my mission. This is your mission. And you can do it. You can do this through your prayers. You can do this. You can do it through your testimony. You can help anyone who is in need. Bring people to Jesus. And we have the privilege of bringing people to Jesus through the Word. We have that privilege to bring people to Jesus through the Word. We know that salvation is personal, is individual, but God used the process of salvation to be collective. God chose people to share the gospel with others. People lead others to Jesus. I just imagine, when God looks at church, he sees a collective faith. You are here today because someone who loves you invites you to be here. You got saved because God used someone to bring you closer to Jesus. Do you remember who led you to know Jesus? Do you remember who was the last person you brought close to Jesus? This is our mission. Bring people closer to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven." Wow, what a statement. Jesus calls that man son. This is a loving, impersonal term. Jesus calls us today sons and daughters, like he did. In verse 6, just Portuguese almost came in my mouth. Verse 6 says, "Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive him sins but God alone?'" Jesus is God. Jesus is God. In Portuguese, we say, Jesus é Deus. Can you say it with me? Jesus? Say again. Jesus é Deus. Jesus? Jesus é? Is? Deus. God. Can you say this for your neighbor? Jesus Say again. Jesus. Adios. So now the characters in the story shift, like change. In the crowd were the scribes, like religious Jews, who taught in the synagogues? In Portuguese, you say synagogue. They were right on this point. Only God can forgive sins. But what they failed to see was that God was there, right in front of them. Jesus met all requirements to be Son of God. Everything those scribes knew from the scriptures about God was right. It's right there with him, in their face. Like in our days, the evidence of God is here, in his creation. And Jesus proved once again that he was a God. Jesus revealed what was inside the heart of those men. And verse 8 said, Jesus perceiving in his spirit that they those questioning themselves, and said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk? But that you may not know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. Can you imagine the shock of those scribes? Jesus says exactly what was in their hearts. Those scribes probably believed that the man was suffering a punishment from God. Some people at the time, in that time, associate physical illnesses with sin. We can see in Gospel of John 9, verse 2 says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciple asked him, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it is not that man sinned or his parents. It's happened so that God could show his great work in this man. We know that sickness, illnesses, or any kind of hardship are not punishment from God. We know that. God doesn't love us for any physical reason. He loves us for who he is. He loves us because we were created by him. C.S. Lewis, I like many books of him. He said, he loved us not because we were lovable, but because he is love. And Jesus has the power to forgive sin and heal. For Jesus, forgive sin or healing makes no difference. He's sovereign in power. Can you imagine if the man were not forgiven, if he were not saved and only healed? What would happen to him? He may walk again, but he would get old and die. If he were not saved by Jesus, he would not live eternity with God. And Jesus teaches that the priority is to be forgiven by God, because it is God's forgiveness that brings us salvation. We must pray for sick. We must continue to pray for those who need physical restoration. But the most important thing we have to do is pray for salvation. The most important thing we have to do is preaching the word of Jesus and the forgiveness he gave us on the cross. I like this story because in the text ends with God being glorified. Verse 12 says, "And he rose and took his bed and went out before them all, so that everyone was amazed and glorified God, saying, We have never seen anything like this." The text began with Jesus preaching the word, and the text ends with Jesus showing the word. The crowd heard about the word and saw the word. That's why they said, We have never seen anything like this. In Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever." He still saves people through the Holy Spirit. And he uses us to help people, help others. We must bring people to Jesus. Jesus knows what's going inside in our heart. He has the power to forgive sins and save. He has the power to heal and restore any situation in your life. He must glorify God. We must glorify God for what he does and for who he is. Because the Bible says, he is love. Because he loves us first. Because he is good. Our mission to share the gospel, to share the word with people. Our mission is to share the love with people. And our mission is to bring people closer to Jesus. And that's why we are here. That's why we are church. To help others to know Jesus. I would like to pray with you all. Maybe God put someone in your heart today. I would like to pray for you and for your family. We have, like Carol says, we have many things doing in our heart. Maybe you have some problem, you are struggling with some, but we know God has the power to save us and help us in our needs. I can feel God here in this place. I can feel God here because our church loves us and loves others. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you continue to bless us, bless our church. We are so grateful for everything you are doing here in our lives, in our church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to understand better who you are. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, because we feel loved by them. Thank you for using people to help others. And we love Jesus. Thank you for dying on that cross for our sins. Thank you for doing everything for us. We pray for our families. We pray now for names and people that don't know you yet. pray that you put some names in my friend's heart now to pray for dead people. And Lord, just use us to your glory, for your glory.